peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The word of God to which we direct our attention this morning is the account of the first Pentecost as recorded in Acts chapter 2. You may be seated. God is a God of communication. He's one that desires to have a relationship with us for sure, and we say that he's a God of relationship, but the way that he has that relationship with us is by communication, by speaking to us, by us hearing, and he does speak to us, and he does so plainly. And because God desires that all people would hear and understand his word, he makes sure that when he says what he desires to say, that he says it in a way that's easily understood by the hearer. We get this, and so we seek to make God's word available even in the most obscure languages on our planet. There are people who devote their entire lives, their ministry, to making God's word available to people in all languages and all tongues, and for sure it is God making his word available through his servants. Nowhere do we see this more clearly than at the first Pentecost, which we mark as the birth of the Christian church. This is now the ongoing work of Christ to which Luke alludes in the introduction to the book of Acts, when he says, "In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and to teach." What Jesus did while he was on this earth certainly was teaching and doing, but it was only the beginning of what God desired to teach and to do. God continues to do and to teach, but now that work comes through his church. And that work requires the ability to communicate Christ in a way that's clear and that's direct, so that everyone can hear and understand. God once confused the language of the people at Babel because of their strivings to reach God on their own. And here God proves once again that it is by his work alone that people are going to come to know him. This all sets us up for our text that we hear from Acts today. 50 days after Christ's resurrection, the followers of Christ in Jerusalem, about 120 of them gathered together, are there in a house, is what the text tells us. Some people think that this is the same house that the disciples were gathered in at that Last Supper with Jesus. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I kind of tend to think that that Last Supper was a more intimate time together, and the room they were in probably wasn't big enough to hold 120. But the text doesn't actually tell us where they were, just that they were in a house together. The text also doesn't tell us why they had gathered together on that day, other than that they were gathered for the Feast of Booths. But why these 120 were gathered there is still a little bit of a mystery to us. But it's not a huge leap to suggest that this was the church gathered together to do what Jesus had commanded the church to do. It could very well have been that this gathering of those 120 followers of Jesus was one of the first divine services, which would have included the Lord's Supper, because that's what God commanded through Jesus for his people to do when they gathered together. This is really what would have brought the Christian community together at that point. And then during that gathering, a special manifestation of the Holy Spirit was poured out on God's people. Tongues of fire rested on their heads. The sound of a great rushing wind drew the people of Jerusalem to where those disciples were gathered. The followers of Jesus there were praising God in loud voices, praising God by speaking about all the things that God had done through Christ Jesus. And miraculously, everyone who was there in that crowd that day heard them speaking in their own language. We don't know what the mechanics of this were, whether the apostles were suddenly speaking in tongues that they had never known before, or if the people's ears miraculously translated the words into their own language. The scripture just doesn't tell us exactly how it worked. But what's key in our passage here today is that they all had perfect understanding. They were hearing about what God had done through Christ, and they were understanding it perfectly. It's important for us to make clear here that the tongues or the languages in our text were existing human languages. There wasn't some special Holy Spirit language that was made up on this day. It was languages that were already in existence and that people were speaking. The text makes that very clear when it says, each one of them hearing him speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all of these who were speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia and all the rest, so on and so forth. God is not a God of confusion. He doesn't want to create chaos. His desire for us is that his communication to us would be clear and understandable to us. This is very different than the supposed speaking in tongues that we see in Pentecostal or charismatic churches. Our text is talking about existing human languages. What we see here happening on Pentecost is not speaking in tongues so much, but rather God making his word clearly known to all the people. You might ask why that particular point is so important. It's because faith comes by the hearing of the word of God. The church is the people of God, the believers in Jesus Christ. But believers don't exist apart from the hearing of the word of God. If people are not told about Jesus Christ and what Christ has done for them, they can't believe it. So while the church is the people of God, it never exists apart from the marks of the church. And those are word and sacrament. Without the message that Christ died on the cross for your sins, the church doesn't exist. And God desires that all people would know and would hear this message with all clarity, so that they can understand it, so that they can take it to heart and through it know the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And so we see this at Pentecost. The crowd gathered because of the miracles that were taking place, and the text tells us all were amazed and perplexed, saying to each other, what does this mean? But the people do not come to faith because of the miracles that are happening that day. The people don't come to faith because of the mighty rushing wind. The people don't come to faith because the tongues of fire that were resting upon the heads of the men there that day. They come to faith only after Peter has preached the word of God. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. This is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Peter starts in the Old Testament and then he begins to apply all that the Old Testament scriptures have said to the work that Jesus has done. Much in the same way that Jesus enlightened the disciples as he walked with them on the road to Emmaus. Peter preaches law and then gospel to the people that day in a classic textbook Lutheran fashion. When they understood what God had done, and that they, because of their sins, were responsible for it. Their consciences were burdened, and they asked Peter, "What should we do?" And then Peter speaks God's word clearly to them. He says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." It's as if Peter is saying to them, this amazing thing that's happening here, this thing that you're seeing that's miraculous, if you want to be part of all of this, all you have to do is believe. Repent, be baptized. And all of this is for you as well. God gives it to you as His free gift through His Son, Jesus Christ. And on that day, because of that clear communication of the gospel message, we're told that 3,000 were baptized in that one day. Meanwhile, today, we're also told by many to be inspired by the word that was spoken on that day. Or maybe to be inspired by the method that Peter used. And if we do these things in the right way, then we too can grow in the same way that the church grew on that first day, the birthday of the church. Imagine how amazing that would be if God created that kind of growth in our midst. We wouldn't have the seats for them all to sit, would we? But it doesn't work exactly like that. Whole schools and departments are dedicated to the chasing of growth in all sorts of different ways. But what's all too often forgotten is what we actually see on Pentecost. The one reason, the one and only true reason that the church grows is because people hear the clear, unadulterated word of God. It's not a matter of some secret process. It's not advertising or programming, although sometimes those things bring people in to hear the word of God. It's about communication. God communicates to us through His word. That is the Holy Scripture. It worked that way for Peter. Because if Peter, an apostle, one who had witnessed the resurrection of Jesus himself, was used by God to bring people to faith using the word of God, how much more will that be true for us today who are hardly apostles? We too are called to use God's word so that people might be brought to faith. And God speaks to us in human language. He uses words, He uses sentences, and God speaks in all languages. But for us who speak English, He articulates the reality of the gospel to us in the language that we can understand. This is the focus of what Pentecost teaches us. Christ died on the cross and rose again from the dead to give us forgiveness for our sins and life everlasting. That's the gospel right there. Generally, we need to prepare people with the law before they then are able to hear the gospel. And so that's what Peter did on that day. People must see that they are sinners who are in need of a Savior. They need to see that they, by their sins, participated in the crucifixion of Jesus. But once they see their sin, they're ready to hear that message, that sweet, sweet gospel message that their sins are forgiven. And it's not just for they, it's for us. We need to hear that same message on a daily basis, because none of us is any less a sinner than anyone else that we might meet. We also need to be reminded that we are constantly in need of a Savior, the one who's been provided for us, Jesus Christ. We desperately need Him. And so as this message is clearly communicated by those first apostles, the church is established, and it's built up, and it's sustained. And as the text tells us, it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thus we see from the very beginning, from its very birth at Pentecost, the church is about the Word. The Word, the Holy Scriptures are at the center of everything. It's that Word that clearly communicates to us all that God has done for us. That we have a Savior, Jesus Christ, who accomplished salvation for us by His death on the cross and by His resurrection. This is the message that's clearly communicated at Pentecost. In Christ, we do indeed have a Savior who has won for us forgiveness of our sins. The message clearly communicated there at Pentecost, but also the very same message that the church clearly proclaims today by the power of the Holy Spirit through God's Word. Thanks be to God for this clear message. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus.